Ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light. Let us pray. We thank thee, Lord, for the light of the gospel. We thank that the Holy Spirit enlightens us to understand also our duty to thee. And we do pray that the blessed Spirit of Jesus Christ will enlighten our hearts now to receive this thy holy word and to practice it in our lives. In his precious name, amen. The apostle continues in this portion of Ephesians in his exhortation for us to live as consistent Christians. In the previous section, he told us to put off the old man and put on the new man. Now, obviously, saying that means that it's not something that's automatic. It's something he's telling you to do. It's a choice, daily choice. Live in the new you. That was my theme before. Because you can choose to live in the old you, choose to live in the new you. Now, in this portion of today, he tells us something very similar. He says, we were formerly darkness, but now we are light in the Lord. Therefore, we should walk as children of light, as children of God, of like God. Now we begin in verse 31. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Once again, Paul turns to the sins of the tongue. There's so much evil you can do with just what you say. Remember, St. James says if you can control your tongue, you control your whole person. So he's talking about the sins of the tongue and the underlying attitudes that produce these sins. So walking as a child of the light means putting these things away. First is bitterness. This is the unforgiving spirit that refuses to be reconciled. Aristotle defined it that way. Someone who wants to be reconciled to you and you will not forgive. And it says in Hebrews, don't let the root of bitterness arise in you, which defiles many. Put off wrath and anger. As he says elsewhere, as much as it lieth in you, live at peace with all men. Put off evil speaking. This means slandering others, gossiping. Have you ever known someone who never had a good word to say about anyone? That's certainly not the light of Christ. Put off clamor. This is the angry person who loudly wants everyone to hear his complaint. You've all heard them complaining in a store or something. Lastly, put off malice, bad feeling of every kind about others. And be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Having expressed the negative, he now turns to the positive. Be kind. Everyone who knows you should think of you as a kind person. That should be what characterizes you. That's a kind person. Just think how kind Christ has been to you when you totally didn't deserve it. So how much more should you be kind to others? Forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Walking in the light is a forgiving spirit. But there needs to be clarification on this verse. I've preached on it before. It bears repeating because this is one of numerous verses in the Bible that Christians fervently believe and totally misunderstand. The Bible does not teach that you are required to forgive everyone because you're a Christian. Jesus said, if your brother sin against you, rebuke him. If he repent, forgive him. Well, wait, I'm supposed to forgive 70 times 7. Yes, if your brother comes to you 70 times 7 times in a day and says, I repent, and you forgive him. But if he doesn't repent, you can't forgive him. Repentance must come before forgiveness. Now, you're to forgive others the way Christ does. Forgiving one another even as God for Christ's sake forgave you. How did Christ forgive you? How does Christ forgive others? Does he forgive everyone? There are millions of people he never forgave and never will forgive because they'll never repent. He forgives those who come to him humbly and repent. So, a Christian has a forgiving heart. If people sin against you, you don't forgive them, you pray for them. You pray God will give them repentance so you can forgive them. But if they won't repent, then forgiveness is meaningless. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. What does walking as children of the light look like? It looks like acting like Christ. Be ye followers of God. And the word followers in Greek is imitators. It's almost like the word mimic. Be ye imitators of God. About 1420, the year 1420, Thomas a Kempis wrote a famous devotional called The Imitation of Christ. This little book had a tremendous sanctifying effect on the medieval church. And that was his theme. Christians should be imitators of Christ. And that means, he says, walking in love, even as Christ loved you and gave his life as an offering for your sin, a sweet-smelling savor. This is the language of Old Testament animal sacrifices. A sweet-smelling savor to God. Now to us, Calvary and the cross is a scene of horror. But to God, it filled heaven and earth with a lovely fragrance because it was the greatest act of love ever or ever will be. An act of love that saved millions of undeserving sinners. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness be it not once named among you as become a saint. Now the apostle turns from the pure love of Christ to the perversion of love and sexual sins. The Bible is very frank about these things because it needs to be. Fornication. This is a broad term for all the sexual sins that are forbidden in God's law. That means sex outside of marriage, adultery, homosexuality, incest, and bestiality. Those are all fornication. This was a very practical teaching in Paul's day because the Greco-Roman world was filled with these practices. Many of them were part of their religious rituals. It's sad to say that they're also rife in our own day. There are things going on today and being openly celebrated that 50 years ago were against the law and nobody thought was right. Neither filthiness nor foolish talking, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. The proper use of the tongue is not filthiness or foolish talking, as giving thanks. When you walk in the light, you walk in a thankful spirit. And I've told you before that one of the things I say most frequently all throughout the day is, thank you, Lord. Not for just big blessings, but for every little thing. I mean, it's all God, isn't it? For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of God, Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be ye not therefore partakers with them. Those who live in those sexual sins he just mentioned will not inherit the kingdom of God. That's how serious this matter is. Unless, of course, they repent. The kingdom of Christ and of God. The kingdom of God is called the kingdom of Christ because Christ is God. Now, there were those called antinomians who taught that since we're not saved by keeping the law, then we're not punished by breaking the law, which is hardly what Scripture teaches. Last week, Reverend Anderson preached on King David's sin, adultery, murder. God forgave him, and he went to heaven. However, God punished him all the rest of his life for that sin, those sins. The sword shall never depart from thy house. Then there were the Gnostics. We've run across them before in Colossians. They taught that spirit was important, but the body was not, so what you did with your body didn't matter. Paul is saying it certainly does matter. Don't be deceived. There are people who try to deceive today about these matters. Don't be partakers with them of what? Of the wrath of God. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Now notice, he doesn't say that you were once in darkness, because they weren't. Nobody's in darkness. The light of God shines in all of nature. His eternal power and Godhead is displayed everywhere you look. So they were not in a dark environment. They had light, but they shut their eyes to the light. They suppressed the light. They held it down in unrighteousness. They were not in darkness. They were darkness. He says, you were sometimes darkness. The darkness was not in your environment. It was in you. But not anymore. He says, now you're light in the Lord. Christ is in you. The light of God is in you. So you have a responsibility to walk as a child of the light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. That's what the light and walking in the light produces in you. Goodness, righteousness, truth, all these other positive things he's talking about. Kindness, forgiving spirit. Prove what is acceptable. You know, prove in the Bible often means test. So he's saying, test your way of life, whether it's acceptable to the Lord, whether it's pleasing to him. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Now, having no fellowship with the works of darkness doesn't mean you have to join an Amish community, shun the world. Or I've heard some Christians say, you know, Christians ought to get together and buy an island and all live there in a Christian community. That's not biblical. We're supposed to be in the world and salt of the world. If you don't have unsaved friends that you're around and friendly with, they may never hear about Jesus. But he says the kind of fellowship he's talking about is when you become like them. Rather reprove them. And it may be politically incorrect then. It may be unpopular, but you have to stand for what's right and oppose what's wrong and let it be known. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. Sinners like to talk about sins in a lighthearted way, in a playful way, joke about them. But it's shameful, Paul says, to speak about them in that way. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light, for whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Light exposes things. It makes things manifest. It makes things visible. I heard a preacher say once that he was at a Bible conference, and during the break he went for a walk around the property of the church. And he came back in, his nice shiny Oxford shoes were now dirty, and he didn't realize it because it was dark outside. But as soon as he got into the church, the light exposed the dirt. And that's what the light of God's word does. Shows us what's truly right and wrong. Wherefore he saith, awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. Awake from the dead. Awake, thou that sleepest. There's a similar passage in Romans that the Lord used to convert St. Augustine. He knew the Christian religion, but he never surrendered to Christ until this point. His mother, Monica, was a faithful Christian, prayed for him all the time. And he was in his villa one day, and he heard children next door singing a child's song in Latin, tole lege, which means take up and read, take up and read. He went to the next room, there was a Bible on the table, he opened the Bible, and it fell open to this passage. It is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. That's when St. Augustine was saved and became the greatest theologian of the ancient church. Our doctrine is Augustinian. See that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. So walking in the light means walking in wisdom. Light is a symbol of purity, but it's also a symbol of knowledge and wisdom. That's why we say when God reveals his word to you, he enlightens you. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. Walking in wisdom involves the right use of time. Now, in the Greek Bible, the Greek New Testament, the original language, there are two words for time. They're both translated time in English, but they're different words and they have a different meaning. There's chronos. This is time like what you measure with your watch or a clock. And although it's true that that time is not to be wasted, Paul is speaking of something different here. He uses the word for time that's kairos, which means something like opportunity. In the Galatians, he writes this, as we have therefore opportunity, and that's the word kairos, let us do good to all men. So what Paul is saying here is don't waste the opportunities God gives you. And by the way, this word also has caused confusion for many in the book of Revelation, where it says time shall be no more. People think you won't need there won't anymore be a time as we know it, but that's not true. You're part of creation. Creation consists of time and space. You will always be in time and space because you'll always be a creature. It's not chronos that will be no more, it's kairos, opportunity to repent. There will be no more time to repent. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Walking in the light means walking in the will of the Lord. Now, you know, a lot of people get confused about the will of the Lord. I have to find out the will of the Lord for my life. And what they mean is his will of predestination. That's fortune telling. Walking in the will of the Lord and knowing the will of the Lord is knowing the scriptures. Jesus said, "Lo, I have come to do thy will, O Lord," and explains that by saying, "Yea, thy law is in my heart." And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Now, I know I'm preaching to the choir here. Scripture doesn't forbid the use of wine. Our Lord's first miracle was to make wine for a party. His last act with the apostles was to consecrate wine to represent his blood in a sacrament. But drunkenness is a serious sin. St. Paul says in Corinthians, no drunkard will inherit the kingdom of God. Now, that means there's no such thing as a disease of alcoholism. It's not my fault. I'm sick. I have this disease of alcoholism. No, a drunkard is someone who's made a choice to sin. And that's why this is a sin that keeps people out of the kingdom of God if they don't repent. Wherein is excess? And this word excess means it leads you to do irrational things. It's the same word in the parable of the prodigal son for he spent his money on riotous living. That's the excess. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Finally, again, and it's instructive how often Paul mentions thanksgiving as part of the Christian life. Giving thanks in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, giving thanks in all things. Well, Paul says, I give thanks in afflictions, I give thanks in weakness, I give thanks in persecution. Sounds like all things to me. Even so, for it pleased the Father to give them to me. You're the light of the Lord, to walk as children of light. Amen. Lord, we fully understand that we are incapable of walking as children of the light without the blessing of Jesus Christ. And we pray that we may purposely seek that every day, the grace to put off the old man and put on the new and walk in the new person, to walk in the light, to be imitators of Christ. Amen.